Dear fellow redeemed, on this blessed festival of All Saints, when I was 6 years old, my mother took me with her one day to visit someone from our congregation. It was an elderly woman, and I remember in her house she had a large wooden chest that apparently her father had made for her when she was a little girl. And she opened it up and gave my mother some dishes and some silverware and some towels from there. And my mom explained to me on the way home that this was what she called a hope chest. And a hope chest, for those of you that don't know, was often a special chest that was given to a young lady. And her parents and others would buy her things that someday, hopefully, she'd be able to use in her home and raising her family and children. Well, this lady had never gotten married and now was getting near the end of her life. And my mom said she felt very sad for her that she was giving away all of these things. If you could right now write down a list of your top 10 hopes and dreams for your earthly life, it wouldn't take much to destroy each and every one of them. I think about even some of our athletes who come here hoping to have a great career and within months have to have surgery, sometimes even career-ending surgeries. Why must we face so much disappointment in this life? Well, the reason is that all of our earthly hopes and dreams are really, they should be labeled dead because there's really no certainty to any of them. There are so many factors that are beyond our control, things that can influence what happens in our lives. And so the hope that this world offers us is like a handful of baby powder in the wind, something that can just blow away with the slightest breath. And all of the best planning in the world can be changed by just one doctor's visit. All of our earthly hopes are tied to promises or maybe to our own dreams or to things over which we really don't have ultimate control. And so these hopes really have no life to them. Now in the text before us, God addresses a different sort of hope. The Holy Spirit uses very specific wording. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the hope that St. Paul describes to the Romans that does not disappoint us. And when it comes to our own resurrection from the dead someday, God calls this a living hope because it's based upon the already accomplished fact of his own son's resurrection back to life from the dead. And there's nothing that can disrupt or destroy that hope for the believer who is holding on to Christ. And you and I possess this now by faith, given to us in the waters of our baptism. And only saints are allowed into heaven, and that is what you are in Christ. He has given you his holy record of righteousness and dressed you in that robe of righteousness. And he now promises you that those who are his saints through faith in that Savior will come to heaven. Our text says, this has all been done according to his abundant mercy. That's how he has begotten us into this living hope. And so when God addresses believers in Christ about their future, and regarding this eternal inheritance, it's never in terms of maybes or possibilities or what ifs. It's always with absolute certainty. As Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. God the Father obligated himself to raise his son back to life from the dead based upon the promises and prophecies that he'd laid down for himself. And his obligation to you for your future resurrection is no less certain. This is the God who James tells us cannot lie. Many years ago, one of my members had a father who was dying and was in the hospital in his last days. And the family had gathered around his bedside and began to sing hymns to him. And later, a doctor came by to talk to them and said, we do have some extreme measures we could try to do to keep your father alive. Probably wouldn't be real successful, but do you want us to take some heroic efforts? And the family said no. And then the doctor, who was a Christian, responded, and he said, I didn't think you would, My patients who seem to have no Christian background will try almost any means they can to hold on to life. But when I heard your family singing Christian hymns at his bedside, I knew that you had no problem with death. God does not want you to go through this life with the burden and fear of his judgment hanging over you, or with the fear of what's going to happen to you after this life. He doesn't want you shaking and trembling in that fear once you die. In 1984, the Chicago Tribune reported a death of a drug dealer, a pretty well-known drug dealer in the Chicago area, who had apparently in that world risen to quite a seat of power. And this is what they described about his death. He was buried in a custom-designed casket made to resemble a Cadillac Seville. And he had several $100 bills stuck out from between his fingers. So in the end, that's the best that this life can give you. It can give you a really cool casket and a bunch of money stuck in your rigor mortis hand. Why in the world would you want to live for that? Live instead for the one who himself has given you your sainthood through faith, has promised you everlasting life in heaven, and it's called here an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. How blessed are you to be one of those saints through Christ. Amen.